Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, June 10th. I'm Abby Larico. Data centers are on the fast track in many Midwest communities, but rising concerns over water, energy, and noise are leaving state and local lawmakers rushing to catch up.
As people especially have started to see the bipartisan local pushback, a lot of legislators have changed their mind on this.
We'll take a look at how other communities are pushing to regulate data centers coming up after this news on The Gateway. The new chief of the St. Louis County Police Department says he wants to make it one of the premier law enforcement agencies in the nation. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has more from Juan Cox, who was promoted by the Board of Police Commissioners yesterday.
Cox is a 31-year veteran of the department who has served in bureaus across the county. He's been acting chief since Kenneth Gregory retired in April. Cox says he was humbled by the promotion. He says he will be working to make sure the department operates at a level of excellence.
That's community outreach, that's leveraging technology, just, you know, employee satisfaction. It's all encompassing.
Cox says he has not yet decided who will join his leadership team, but he says his experience as deputy chief has given him some ideas to make that role more visible. He will be publicly sworn in on June 17th. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Three Collinsville teenagers have been detained by federal immigration officials after a traffic stop. 16-year-old Jesus Alexis Cruz and 19-year-olds Hector Cruz Sanchez and Jonathan Godoy were on the way to work in central Illinois when local law enforcement pulled them over. Cruz family spokeswoman Anna Marie Bell alleges police took custody of their vehicle and released them on the side of the road. It was there, she adds, where federal immigration agents picked them up. Bell says Jesus is being transported to a juvenile detention facility in Texas, but alleges ICE would not tell his family where or by whom. Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski's office confirmed, to the best of their knowledge, the details of a social media post describing the allegations. Neither a spokesperson for ICE nor the Christian County Sheriff's Office immediately responded to a request for comment. One Cameroonian asylum seeker who has been detained for nearly 6 months is still fighting ICE for her release. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, a habeas corpus petition filed on the asylum seeker's behalf may be her ticket to freedom.
After being moved from the Phelps County Jail in Rolla to the Greene County Jail in Springfield, Armand Namani found a glimmer of hope. She noticed some immigrant detainees were released from jail through a habeas corpus petition. Namani's lawyers recently filed one on her behalf, claiming that her prolonged detention violated her civil rights. The Cameroonian asylee continues to fight because earlier this year she was ordered to be deported to Uganda, and she's appealed the decision.
They have some political connections with Cameroon, and I already went to a lot of culture back in Cameroon, and it just gives me like all of the English back.
Namani says she hopes the judge releases her to fight her case from her St. Louis area home. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Angry residents and advocacy groups promised political retribution for St. Louis aldermen as they moved a bill allocating the Rams settlement funds last night. They called for an additional $40 million for tornado recovery efforts in North St. Louis during a lengthy public hearing. It lasted 7 hours. But aldermen on the city's Urban Development Committee only allocated another $10 million, along with an amendment that would direct some interest funds to the area. Tempers flared as advocates said the money is not enough to tackle the up to $2 billion in recovery needed in the area where the tornado hit last year. Kayla Reed leads Action St. Louis.
And I'm having dreams about the people who call my organization a non-service organization, crying for support. And y'all are about to screw them over for what? Downtown?
Downtown revitalization is expected to receive $55 million of the funds. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green says while the roughly $125 million total for North St. Louis is not enough, she says it's a start.
You know, unfortunately, part of the legislative process sometimes is none of us get 100% of what we want, but we get to a place where we can all move forward.
Two other amendments moved funding from the city's reserves to fix the city's aging water department and reduce vacant properties. Three vacant schools in North St. Louis are set to be demolished. As St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports, the St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education took a rare step yesterday to tear down the aging buildings.
SLPS will demolish Scullin, Euclid, and Hempstead schools this summer. The schools have been vacant for decades. All three were closed in the early 2000s due to declining enrollment. The district plans to use insurance payouts from the May 16 tornado to cover the over $3 million cost to tear them down. SLPS has faced pressure from residents who say the buildings attract crime. Gregory Thomas attended Hempstead Elementary and lives in the Hilton Heights neighborhood.
Hope they're going to tear it down and try to build some other kind of home faculties around here or something, you know
House,
what I'm saying?
Would you like apartments?
Yes, or something, you know, yeah.
The demolitions are set to begin this summer and could take up to 3 to 4 months to complete. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
More than 180 instances of dangerous animals have already been reported in St. Louis this year. That includes a recent case where Steve Ewing, musician and owner of Steve's Hot Dogs, says his wife was injured and their dog was killed by a pair of other dogs in Tower Grove Park. City law requires all dogs be always kept on a leash no longer than 6 feet when in public parks. However, that's not always a rule that's followed by dog owners. Kristen Zellin is an Animal Regulation Center supervisor with the City of St. Louis. She says taking pictures of dogs off a leash can help enforce the law.
If you see a dog off leash, take a picture of it if you can do so safely and provide that to us because we need the evidence in order to file those charges.
Zellin says while animal control regularly patrols in parks around neighborhoods, it's hard to catch owners with their dogs without a leash because they know they're being watched. The Missouri Department of Transportation is asking the public to help with a recent increase in street sign vandalism in Jefferson County. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the damaged signs are a large safety concern for all area drivers.
MoDOT District Maintenance Engineer Bob Becker says 5 stop signs have recently been stolen or knocked down. Becker says the lack of signs is a safety risk and can cause severe accidents. He says the biggest thing the community can do is let MoDOT know if they see a sign missing.
It's a huge safety concern, and this is a top priority for us. So anytime night or day, if we're called and said there's a stop sign down, we will send folks out there to get that stop sign up as soon as physically possible.
Once notified, Becker says MoDOT will put a sign back up within a few hours. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
The last wagers on sports other than horse racing have been cast at Fairmount Park in the Metro East. The sports gambling company FanDuel closed the sports book at the Collinsville racetrack this week. From January to March of this year, 21,000 bets have been cast in person at Fairmount. According to state data, more than 26 million have been made online at the racetrack. Betting on the horse racing will still be available. Fairmount's general manager says this won't affect any other part of the track, including the construction of a permanent casino by 2028. Those with outstanding winnings can collect them until June 22nd. A hammerhead worm was found in a local park for the first time, and when you look up a picture of them, they are as gross as you're imagining. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on the invasive species that made its way to South St. Louis County's Cliff Cave Park.
The hammerhead worm gets its name from its unique shape, a long, slithering body with a fan-like head. They reproduce quickly and eat beneficial earthworms. But if you find one, you shouldn't chop it up, says Angela Sokolowski with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
If you cut them in half, you've just made 2 living creatures. And so don't cut them up to try to kill them. Place them in a bag. Place the bag in the garbage can.
The Department of Conservation isn't tracking this species. Instead, Sokolowski says people can report sightings through iNaturalist, a biodiversity app. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Development of large-scale data centers is booming across the Midwest. The number of data centers in Illinois is set to nearly double, while Missouri already has 91 of them, mostly centered around St. Louis and Kansas City. But water and energy usage are rallying some communities against data centers, We've been reporting on how that's been happening around the St. Louis region. Harvest Public Media's Abigail Botar reports on how local and state governments around the Midwest are rushing to regulate this growing industry.
More than 100 people packed into tight chambers for an Illinois County board meeting in April.
I'm going to call this meeting of the Champaign County Board to order.
They're here to support pressing pause on development of large-scale data centers, a move many communities have made in recent months. Dozens of people voiced concerns about the massive amounts of water and energy data centers use, including sixth grader Samuel Tamori.
We don't need the AI as we need our water.
The board unanimously passed the one-year moratorium. These debates surrounding data centers are playing out in communities across the Midwest and Great Plains. Concerns from environmental impacts to noise are spurring efforts to block the new development. In Missouri, one St. Louis suburb even voted out half of its city council after it approved a $6 billion data center deal. Newly elected Festus Councilmember Rick Belleville says he decided to run for office to bring more transparency to the project.
When somebody comes to town and says, hey, we're going to give you millions of dollars and we're going to build a data center, they need to slow down and get a full understanding of how the whole thing's going to affect their community.
Now he's working to put limits on water use for any new industry, including data centers, that want to come to Festus. It's not just local governments. State lawmakers are also pondering how to regulate data centers. Legislators in more than 20 states, including Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Minnesota, and Oklahoma, introduced bills this year to add guardrails to data center development.
I think people are trying to catch up.
That's Dave Owen, a law professor at the University of California, San Francisco, who studies the energy impacts of data centers. He says this flurry of legislation stems from the outrage many communities feel when data center developers try to build in their backyard.
I don't think really anybody foresaw how much of a popular backlash there would be against data centers. So even a year and a half ago, a lot of state and local governments were very eagerly trying to court data centers.
Analysis from the National Conference of State Legislatures found as of May, 38 states currently offered dedicated incentives meant to attract data centers. But several states are reconsidering. Illinois is one of them. Governor J.B. Pritzker praised the passage of tax incentives in 2019, but at his State of the State speech this year, he sang a different tune.
In the face of rising demand and surging prices, I'm proposing a 2-year pause on authorization of new data center tax credits.
After the Illinois legislature failed to act, Pritzker announced he's implementing a tax incentive pause starting July 1st. Several other states, including Michigan, are considering a full repeal of their data center incentives, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Michigan's tax incentives for data centers went into effect just last year. State Representative Dylan Wigella, a Democrat, is sponsoring legislation to repeal them. And it's co-sponsored by a Republican.
As people especially have started to see the bipartisan local pushback, a lot of legislators have changed their mind on this.
But Michigan's governor still supports data centers. That's one reason Wigella doesn't think his bills will pass. But he hopes communities will take up the effort and pass their own restrictions. That's a heavy weight for individual communities to bear, according to Jonathan Coppice. He's the director of the Gardner Agriculture Policy Program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
This isn't fair to put on a county board.
He says the federal government should step in.
But I do think it's a really difficult thing even for states. Electricity flows across state lines.
Federal legislation to pause data center development has been introduced, but the bill, sponsored by minority party members, is unlikely to pass in a Republican-controlled Congress. That means for now, these decisions about water, energy, and large-scale development will continue to be a patchwork of local and state laws. I'm Abigail Botar, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.